Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to TorahMediaAtlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.
It's October the 10th, and we are continuing with Parshas Devarim. So we are on page 940, and today we begin from Pasuk Vav, verse 6. Before we do that, I want to just mention one thing, maybe one and a half things from what we said before. Going back to Pasuk Dalet, verse 4, which we read last week, which is that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking, Acharei HaKoso Esichon Melech HaEmori, Asher Yoshev B'Cheshbon, that Moshe is speaking to the Jewish people after he has already struck or taken down or defeated Sichon and then also Og. After he defeats them, he is speaking to the Jewish people. Now that is a historical fact which is not needed to be repeated over here. We already know that that Moshe Rabbeinu defeated Sichon and Og back in Parshas Chukas. The reason why the Torah is emphasizing this, as Rashi explains over here, is that Moshe Rabbeinu felt that if he would criticize the Jewish people before he did anything to pave the way for the Jews to enter Eretz Yisrael, then his words would be difficult for them to accept. And it's this way he can say, you know, I've done part of it already. I've defeated Sichon and Og for you. I can't go into Eretz Yisrael, so Yehoshua is going to take you in, but at least he has some credibility in order to criticize the Jews. It's going to be more, there's going to be more of a connection between that pasuk and some of the criticism we're going to see later. But for now, we can leave it that is at least a simple reason why the Torah mentions that he defeated Sichon and Og. One last thing before we go further, I mentioned this last time, I'm going to mention it again, that in Pasuk Hain, verse 5, it says that Moshe was Be'er Es HaTorah Hazos, that he explained the Torah, which means he explained it in 70 languages. Now is not the time to discuss this. We will, Be'ezras Hashem, discuss later on in Sefer Dvarim. It's going to be a while till we get there. But the Jews are going to need to write the Torah down in 70 languages. We will tackle the issue, hopefully, Bli Neder, will tackle the issue at that time of translating the Torah and whether the Torah should or should not be transmitted to non-Jews. That is a sticky issue. It's a complex issue. And it's something that does need to be addressed, but we haven't yet reached the main discussion about it. So we're going to leave this here, even though here it does say 70 languages, which would seem to mean that it's inclusive of the non-Jews who speak the other languages. Nevertheless, we will discuss it at a later date, hopefully, but not now. Pasuk Vav, verse 6. So now we begin the main body of criticism that of Moshe Rabbeinu to the Jewish people. Hashem Elokeinu diber eleinu b'chorev v'emor. Hashem, our God, spoke to us in Chorev. Chorev is another name for Har Sinai. He spoke to us in Har Sinai saying, Rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh. You have dwelled enough here on this mountain, at this mountain. Now in the English, they translated that as, let's get the exact translation here, enough of your dwelling by this mountain. Rav lachem sheves bahar hazeh. It's enough. You've been here enough time. They were at Har Sinai for nearly a year. The Jews came to Har Sinai on Rosh Chodesh Sivan, before they got the Torah, and they left on the 20th of Iyar. Iyar is the month before Sivan. So they were 10 days short of an entire year when they left Har Sinai. So they were there for nearly a year. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, it's enough that you're here. That is an extraneous thing, seemingly. What do you mean it's enough that you're here? Hashem never told us to leave. Now we're leaving. So what do you mean it's enough that we're here? So Chazal explain that Rav Lachem means you've gained a lot from being here. This mountain has been a location where you have grown a great deal. How did you grow? Well, first of all, we got the Torah. That's pretty big. But there are other things that happened at Har Sinai. Who knows something else significant that was came into being at Har Sinai in addition to us getting the Torah. Okay, the golden calf is a bad thing. How about a good thing? Something that was built at Har Sinai. The Mishkan was built at Har Sinai. We built the Mishkan at Har Sinai. That's pretty important. So besides getting the Torah, we also built the Mishkan. In addition, Yisro came when we were at Har Sinai. There's a debate whether he came before we got the Torah or he came after we got the Torah. But either way, Yisro instituted a system of a hierarchical system of judges. Was that a court system? Right. Delegating Moshe's responsibilities to a whole group of judges for the Jewish people. And you ended up with lower courts and higher courts still, all the way till you got to Moshe Rabbeinu. So that system was set up at Har Sinai. So there's a lot that happened at Har Sinai besides getting the Torah itself, but the Jews got, many things were set up at Har Sinai. More than that, we were arranged into degolim, flags, with each tribe getting their specific place where they would camp. All of this was arranged at Har Sinai before we traveled. So Har Sinai is a very, very important place, and we gained a lot from being at Har Sinai. I've mentioned this before, and I'll mention it now as well, just because it's an interesting point, which is, I heard this from one of my mentors in Yeshiva, Rav Ezra Neuberger, that if you look at the Torah from Bereishis until Vezos HaBracha, the entire Torah, and you follow the lens of the Torah, meaning what location is the Torah speaking from? Where does it go? So in Bereishis, we're kind of fuzzy about where exactly everybody was in the world, and Noach also is a little bit fuzzy, but once you get to Avraham, then the location is clear. The Torah, the lens of the Torah, never goes beyond. It's clearly sometimes in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Canaan, Eretz Yisrael. Sometimes it goes as far north and east as, from your perspective, it would be this way, north and east as Bavel. Like Avraham comes from Haran, which is essentially Bavel, or Kastim, etc. And it goes as far south, and as far south and west as Mitzrayim. That's the lens of the Torah. That's as far as it goes. It never goes further east or north than Bavel. It never goes further south or west than Mitzrayim. So if you follow that lens and you just measure, not by chronological time, but measure by the amount of ink that is used to describe what is going on at these places, meaning that how many parshios are spent when the Jews are in Mitzrayim? How many parshios are spent when Yaakov is in Haran? How much of the Torah is when the Jews are on Eiver HaYarden? That's where they are now, Eiver HaYarden, the other side of the Jordan River. How much? So if you measure it that way, the most space of the Torah is when the Torah is focused at Har Sinai. The Jews get to Har Sinai in Parshas Yisro, which is the middle of Sefer Shmos. They're there for the rest of Sefer Shmos, for all of Sefer Vayikra, and for the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar until you get to Bahaloscha, which is when they finally leave Har Sinai. So they're at Har Sinai for the entire Sefer Vayikra, half of Sefer Shmos, and the beginning of Sefer Bamidbar. That's the longest span of time. I don't mean time as in days, as in parshios, that the Torah is, so to speak, parked in one place at Har Sinai. Har Sinai is the central location of the Torah. Not just that's where we got the Torah. It's a fascinating thing to think about. Yeah.
I never realized that because it doesn't keep reminding us.
Right. It does not keep reminding us. It does not keep reminding us about it. And here, now that we're talking about what happened at Har Sinai, so you think about it a little bit. When he first said it, it was a fascinating thing to me, and every time I think about it, it's very, very interesting. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech haolam shehakol nivra. Pasuk Zion, verse 7. Pnu usulachem, turn and travel for yourselves. Uvo har ha-emori vel kol shecheinav, and come to the mountain of the Emori and to all of its neighbors, all the areas around it. Ba'arava vahar, in the plain and in the mountain. Uva shefeila, and in the valleys. Uva negev, and in the south. Uva chof hayam, and on the ocean. Meaning all the areas of Eretz Yisrael. This is Moshe Rabbeinu recounting what happened when they were at Har Sinai. They were ready to leave. That it was Moshe Rabbeinu said to them in the name of Hashem, go to all the areas in Eretz Yisrael, Eretz HaKenani v'HaLevanon, the land of the Kenani and the Levanon, and HaNahar HaGadol Nahar Paras, until the great river, the Euphrates River. The entirety of Eretz Yisrael lies before you. Go and take it. Har Sinai is somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula. We don't know exactly where it is, but somewhere in the Sinai Peninsula, which is south and a little west of Eretz Yisrael. And Moshe Rabbeinu is telling the Jews, travel from here, go north, and go into Eretz Yisrael. It's all lying there before you. Re'ein asati lifneichem es haaretz. See, I've put before you the land. Hashem says, Bo urishu es haaretz, go and conquer the land. Asher nishba Hashem l'avoseichem, that Hashem swore to your ancestors, le'Avraham, le'Yitzchak, u'le'Yaakov, to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, l'aseis lahem, to give to them, u'lizaram achareim, and to their children after them. Chazal say, if we would have listened at that time and gone, as Hashem said, there would have been no impediments. We would have gone and walked into Eretz Yisrael, conquered the land. There would be no resistance. If there was any resistance, Hashem would have taken care of it. No weapons would have been necessary. No wars. We simply would have walked in and taken over the land. It would have been ours for the taking. There would have been none of this drama that we have at the end of the 40 years, which we had at the end of Sefer Bamidbar, where the Jews needed to ask permission from Edom to go through their land, and Edom said no, and we had to backtrack, we had to go around the land of Edom, we tried to go through Moab, they said no, we had to go around the land of Moab, we got to this little pass between the lands of Moab and Ammon, which we had to sneak through in order to get to where we had to go to, then we had to fight with Sichon and with Og, all kinds of drama to get ourselves on the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. None of that would have been necessary. We would have gone directly from south to north, rather than, I'll do it from your perspective, what we actually did was, we went from south to north, reached the land of Edom, they said no, we had to go back south, backward to where we came, we then had to make we were going south, we had to make a left turn, so we had to turn east, and go south of Edom, we then had to go south of Moab, we then had to turn north and go up the side of Moab, and then we had to turn towards the west and come in from sort of the back door into Eretz Yisrael. That's the way we had to do it in the end. But that was not necessary. Had we listened to Hashem at Har Sinai, we would have gone from south to north, gone straight up into Eretz Yisrael, no resistance, and no permission needed to cross any lands. It would have been ours. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, is going to get to the criticism, which is why that didn't happen. And why didn't it happen? What is the sin that we committed? Well, the golden calf had already happened at this point. This is when we're leaving Har Sinai. What's that? The miraculous, right. So the spies. So what's going to happen that Moshe Rabbeinu will get to will be, this is where he's going to give us Moser to criticize us about what happened with the spies 40 years previously. And because of the spies, we ended up having to wander and we were not able to simply walk into Eretz Yisrael as Hashem said. But he's not ready to say that yet. And what we are going to examine tonight is what Moshe Rabbeinu is going to preface the remarks about the Meraglim, about the spies, with what? What is he going to speak about first? Yes?
So they were leaving Har Sinai. Where did they decide that they needed the spies to go in? At what point?
When, the question is, we were leaving Har Sinai, at what point did we say we needed spies? When we got to the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael.
So we had already gone through all these lands and gone around and around.
No, we didn't go around. We went straight through. There was no going around at this time. We went straight up. We got to the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, on the southern doorstep of Eretz Yisrael. We sent spies, and then that was the end of it. Then we were not allowed to go in. We had to wander. When we came back and we wanted to go through the same route, then we started needing to ask permission, and Edom said no, and Moab said no, and all the drama took place 40 years later. But at this time, there was no need for any permission. We just could have walked right in. But because we asked for spies, that derailed us. But Moshe Rabbeinu is not prepared to say that yet. This is what you would expect right here. Since we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is saying this as Moser's criticism, so right here with Pasuk Tes, verse 9, what you would expect Moshe Rabbeinu to say is, and we got to the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, and you said we want to send spies. Hashem said, go right in, and you said, no, we want to send spies, and you did, and they gave a bad report, and then you rejected Hashem, and then your ancestors had to die, and that's what you'd expect him to say. But he doesn't say that. Instead, Moshe Rabbeinu launches into a rather lengthy, what you would think is a sidebar. So let's see, what is it that Moshe Rabbeinu discusses over here? Pasuk Tes, verse 9. I said to you at that time, saying, Lo uchal levadi se'eseschem. I cannot on my own carry you. I can't lead you all by myself. Hashem Elokechem, hir bo eschem, Hashem your God has increased you. V'inchem hayom kechokhvei ha'shamayim l'rovim. Behold, today you are like the stars of the heavens. That's how many you are. Hashem Elokei Avoseichem Yosef Aleichem Kachem Aleph Pe'amim. Hashem, the God of your ancestors, should add upon your numbers 1,000 times. Vivarech Eschem, and he should bless you Kasher Diber Lachem, as he has spoken to you. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can't lead you. It sounds like there's too many of you. There's only one of me, and I can't handle all of you. Pasuk Yud Beis, verse 12. Eicha esa levadi, how can I carry all by myself? Tarchachem, umasachem, verivachem. I'm going to use the English over here. How can I carry all by myself your contentiousness, your burdens, and your quarrels? You're a difficult people to lead. I can't do this all by myself. That's what I said back then. Havu lachem anashim chachamim unevonim viduim l'shivtechem. Give from yourselves, men who are wise, who have understanding, who you know of, you know their righteousness for each of your tribes, and I will place them as your leaders. Give me members of each of your tribes that I can place as leaders. I can have them be part of the leadership team. Let's do that. Vatanuosi, and you answered me. Vatomrun, you said, Tova davar shedibart la'asos. What you said is good to do. That's a good idea. Let's do that. Good idea. So let's do that. Why don't we like what you said. It's a good idea. Let's do it. Vo'ekaches roshei shivtechem. I took the heads of your tribes. Anoshim chachamim viduim, men who are wise and who you knew about, who were known. Vo'ateno sam roshim aleichem. I made them heads, leaders upon you. Sarei alafim v'sarei meos, officers of thousands, officers of hundreds. V'sarei chamishim v'sarei asaros, officers of fifties, officers of tens, meaning that the lower leaders were the ones who were the heads of tens. Each 10 people had a person who was their leader, and then each 100 people had a person who was their leader, and each 1,000, etc. It was a hierarchy. The shotrim, and also shotrim, who are enforcers, policemen, those who would enforce the law, l'shivtechem, for each of your tribes. Now, we're now going to what would seem to be a sidebar. What so far it's already a sidebar, but even more of a sidebar. We're now going to get into the laws of being judges. Moshe Rabbeinu has now said that we've created this hierarchy of judges, of various people who will be both judges and leaders, and they will have the following rules. Now I'm going to read through them. We'll see how much we're able to cover tonight in depth, but let's read through some of the rules over here. Tez Zion, verse 16. Remember, this is what happened 40 years earlier when they left Har Sinai. It's really 39 years earlier. V'atzaves shoftechem b'esahi lemor. I commanded your judges at that time, saying, Shamoa b'nachechem, listen between your brothers, u'shvat tem tzedek, and judge righteously, b'en ish, Uvein Achiv, Uvein Gero, between a man and between his brother, and between, there's a debate of how to translate this word, Gero, they translate it here as his litigant. We'll discuss that hopefully when we break down these psukim a little bit more specifically, what that word literally means. But right now we'll use the English here of litigant. Lo sakiru fanim bamishpat, do not show favoritism in judgment. Kakaton, kagadol, tishmon. You should hear the small court cases the same way you hear the big ones. Meaning, doesn't matter whether it's whether they're fighting over $1 or whether they're fighting over $1 million. It's the same thing. Lo soguru mipeish. Do not fear any man. Ki amishpat lelukimhu. For the judgment is to Hashem. The law goes to Hashem. Vadavar sheikshem ikem. And anything which is harder, is difficult for you, you don't know the answer, takrivun a lie, bring it before me, ushmativ, and I will hear it. V'atzaveschem bo'isahi, and I commanded you at that time, eis kol advarim asher ta'asun, all the things that you should do, that means as judges, all the different laws of judges. So, a very, what I think, lengthy history of the appointment of these judges, and the rules that the judges need to follow. And then, finally, we get to what we would have thought would have been Pasuk Tes, what would have been the verse 9, is actually Pasuk Yud Tes, verse 19. We finally get to the criticism, which we're not going to read right now, which is going to be about how we traveled through the wilderness, and we came to the doorstep of Eretz Yisrael, and I said, oh, here we are, go right in, and you said, no, we need to send spies, and everything fell apart from there. Everything unraveled. So what is all this? It's a nice history, and the rules, the laws of judges are interesting and fascinating. We'll try to go through some of the details about them, which is really interesting. But what is it doing here? What does this have to do with the criticism that Moshe Rabbeinu is bringing at the end of his life to the Jewish people to tell them, you misbehaved 39 years ago, and because of that, we had to wander the wilderness? And don't repeat your mistakes, which is essentially what Moshe Rabbeinu is doing. Before he dies, he's telling the Jewish people, I want you to remember the difficulties that we had together and don't repeat them after I die. So what is all this about judges? What does all this have to do with anything? So let's give at least the beginnings of an answer to this question before we dissect some of these psukim. And once we have a general framework of where we're going, then we'll see how much detail we can throw in. Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, is about to criticize the Jewish people about the Meraglim, about the spies. What happened with the spies? We all know what happened with the spies. The Jews became nervous. They were afraid. They were scared. They sent spies. They said, we need to do this right. We need to have, we need to send people in to see what's going on. We know where we're going, etc. The spies went. The spies came back with an evil report. At least 10 of the 12 came back with a bad report. And we believed them and we ended up rejecting Hashem. And unfortunately, Hashem said, okay, that this generation has to die out, and you're going to have to wander for 39 years, and then afterwards, the rest of the Jews can go in. Your children will be able to go in, but you can't go in. Moshe Rabbeinu, here, in these 10 psukim, these 10 verses, is giving us the backdrop to the spies. Because the spies didn't happen in a vacuum. They happened on the heels of something else, which didn't seem so bad. It happened with something that didn't seem like it was such a terrible thing. But nevertheless, something went wrong. So what went wrong? So what went wrong is the delegation of power, of delegating Moshe Rabbeinu's authority to others. Now, how can we say that that's wrong? Yisro is held up as a wonderful advisor, that he came in back in Parshas Yisro and he saw that the Jews were standing in front of Moshe Rabbeinu from morning till evening, and Moshe Rabbeinu was the only one who could answer and judge the Jews. And Yisro said, "Lo tov hadavar asher ata oseh." What you're doing is not good. Navol tibol, you will be worn out. This is not going to work. You can't do this. Chazal say Yisro felt it was not kavod to the Jewish people that they would have to wait and wait and wait like that. It just wasn't right. And therefore, he recommended to Moshe Rabbeinu to delegate, to create a hierarchy of courts, that the lower courts would hear the cases first, and then, I want to make a point over here, which is a little bit of a divergent point, but this is not like the hierarchy of court system we have in the United States. In the United States, the hierarchy of the court system is that you can appeal a decision and go to the next higher level. That is not what we had in the wilderness. That's not the court system that was set up by Yisrael. Once a judgment was made, it was final, even by a lower court. You could not appeal. There's no such thing. The way it worked was, the lower court heard the case. If they didn't know the answer, then it went to the next higher level. If they didn't know the answer, it went to the next higher level, etc. And eventually, the buck stopped with Moshe Rabbeinu. The last stop was Moshe Rabbeinu. If no one knew the answer, then it went all the way up to Moshe Rabbeinu. But there was no such thing as appealing a decision. The lower courts had authority to make the decisions, just as the higher courts did if they knew the answer. If they didn't know the answer, then it went upstairs. That's the way the system worked that Yisro set up. And when Yisro set it up, he said to Moshe Rabbeinu, ask Hashem. He said, Himalech Bigvura, go ask Hashem. Don't rely on me. I'm making the suggestion. If Hashem tells you it's a good idea, then do it. And Hashem said, yeah, it's a good idea. And they did it. So Yisro is held up as a wonderful advisor that he came up with this idea. So how can we be criticizing the setting up of the court system here? Here it seems all of a sudden, like you read Parashas Yisro and you read this, they seem to be diametrically opposed. That here it's a criticism. So what are we discussing over here? What is the issue? Now, it's unclear to me if the setting up of the court system that Moshe Rabbeinu was talking about here is the precise same setting up of the court system that Yisro did. Because when Yisro set up the court system, it's while they were still at Har Sinai. And this sounds like a setting up of a court system as they were leaving Har Sinai. So I'm not sure it's the exact same incident. But either way, the question still stands. Because, again, when Yisro did it, it seems to have been a good thing. And here, it seems to be something negative. So what could be negative about it? I thought it was a good thing. So Chazal tell us that what went wrong is the Jewish people's reaction. What's the Jewish people's reaction? Let's look carefully at what happens over here. First, we have Pasuk Tes, verse 9. Va'omar leichem bo'isahi, lay more back on page 940. I said to you at that time, saying, Lo chalavati seseschem, I cannot carry you by myself. Now, is that a good thing or a bad thing? That Moshe Rabbeinu could not carry the Jewish people. What's the reason why he couldn't do it? Now, Yisro, when he came, he said, what I see is a long line of people waiting to talk to Moshe Rabbeinu. That will not do. That's not going to work. So what was the problem? The problem was too many cases and only one person to hear the cases. That was the problem. Whether it was a problem that Moshe Rabbeinu would not be able to survive, whether it was not covered for the Jewish people to be standing in line like that, but the problem was simply a volume issue. There's too many people and there's only one judge. That is the issue that Yisro brings up. So, Moshe Rabbeinu says over here, Pasuk Yud, verse 10, Hashem Elokechem, hir bo eschem. Hashem has increased you, v'inchem hayom kechochvei ha'shamayim l'rov, and you are like the stars of the heavens. That's how many you are. Chazal say, what do you mean? The Jews were not like the stars of the heavens. There's billions of stars up there. There weren't billions of Jews. What does it mean like the stars of the heavens? So Chazal tell us, this doesn't mean how many Jews there were. It means how long the Jews would endure. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hashem has made you like the stars of the heavens. The stars of the heavens, they last for the entirety of the universe. You too are going to last forever. This is not a short-term thing. You're going to go on forever. Whatever we're going to set up, whatever system we're going to have, needs to endure because you're going to endure. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, this is not something that we're not here for the short term. We are for the long term. We need to think big, broadly, not so narrowly as right now. Pasuk Yud Aleph, verse 11. Hashem Elokevo Sechem Yosef Aleichem Kachem Elef Pe'amim. Hashem, the God of your ancestors, should add on to you 1,000 times. Vivarech Eschem Kasher Diber Lachem, and he should bless you the way that he spoke to you. Here Moshe Rabbeinu gives them a bracha. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I'm not complaining that you're so many people. It's wonderful that you're so many people. What's that? It's wonderful that you are so many people. That Moshe Rabbeinu says over here. That it's a great thing. He's not complaining about it. He says, he's criticizing them, right? He's about to say a criticism. So he says, I said, I can't carry you. Hashem has made so many of you. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not a problem. It's wonderful that there's many of you. That's great. Hashem should give you 1,000 times your numbers and bless you according to the way he said. That's what he should do. Moshe Rabbeinu says, that's not an issue. In fact, when he gave this bracha, Moshe Rabbeinu is giving that bracha in real time. And he's saying that right now, he's saying, as he's relating the story, he says, and by the way, it's great. Hashem should give you 1,000 times your numbers and bless you the way he said he would. So the Chazal say, when Moshe Rabbeinu said 1,000 times, the Jews said to Moshe Rabbeinu, you're limiting us. You're saying only 1,000 times. Hashem said to Avram Avinu, they'll be like the dust of the earth, like the sand of the sea, like the stars of the sky, way more than 1,000 times the amount we are now. You're limiting us. To which Moshe Rabbeinu said, my bracha is 1,000 times, but Hashem should do kasher diber lachem, like he spoke to you. It should be way more than my bracha. My bracha is limited because I'm a human being. And I can't fathom a number that is as big as what Hashem is able to do. I'm only able to conceive of 1,000 times what you are right now. Human beings, let's pause here, just explain this for a moment. You know that in Parshas Miketz, when Yosef is gathering the food before the famine, during the 7 years of plenty, Yosef's gathering the food, the pasuk over there says that they gathered and they counted the food. And it says they counted Ad ki chadal lispar, until they stopped counting, ki ein mispar, because there was no number. So what does that mean? We know, what do you mean there's no number? Just add another zero. There's plenty of numbers. Numbers keep on going. You can add exponentially. Numbers keep going. They stopped counting because there was no number. So what that means is not that there was no way to count it. You could count it. You could say numbers. But the numbers became meaningless. Human beings can only wrap their minds around a certain amount of things. Once you get to a certain point, it's mind-numbing. The numbers are irrelevant. What difference does it make whether you say a trillion or 10 trillion? It's the same thing. It's so mind-numbing. It's so big, it becomes irrelevant when you start just adding more numbers. That's what it means over there. Here as well, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I can only fathom 1,000 times where you are now. Right now, there were several million people. I can imagine 1,000 more in the billions. But people more than that, Jews, more, that's beyond a human being's conception and being able to wrap their minds around it. But Hashem, He's not limited. He should give you, like He said, more and more and more and more and more. Way more than what I can conceive, what I can think about. So Moshe Rabbeinu is very clear. I'm not complaining about the amount of Jews. If that's the reason to create a system of judges, like Yisro said to do, that's wonderful. That would not be part of this criticism. That would be deleted from Parshas Devarim. It wouldn't be necessary, because there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. If the reason why we needed more judges is because there are too many people and not enough judges, that's a wonderful reason. Growth means you need more people in leadership. That's what growth does. When you have a small amount of people, you only need one leader. When you have a lot of people, you need a hierarchy. There's nothing wrong with that. That's great. Here's the problem. Pasuk. Yud Beis. Eicha esa levadi tarchachem umasachem verivachem. The problem is not the numbers. The problem is your behavior. How can I carry by myself? Let's use the English again. Your contentiousness, your burdens, and your quarrels. Chazal tell us the Jews were not easy to judge. When they would be in a court case and Moshe Rabbeinu would attempt to rule in the case, no one wanted to lose. They would try to bring, I'll bring another proof. I'll bring more witnesses. I'll do this. I'll do that. There was a constant wearing down of Moshe Rabbeinu in the way the Jews conducted themselves. It was not what we would call a friendly din Torah. It wasn't like they went to Moshe Rabbeinu and said, okay, we don't know the law. Tell us the law, we'll accept whatever you say. It wasn't like that. It was, Moshe Rabbeinu would rule, but wait a second! And then they would fight back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And that's where Moshe Rabbeinu says, that I can't carry. I can't carry all of you. Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, you know what? If everybody would be coming in a court case with the sole intention of finding out what does the Torah say, and that's it, and we're ready to accept whatever it is, it could be that I could have done it by myself. And even with all the numbers of Jews, it might have worked. Maybe. But that's not the way it was. What it actually was tarchachem umasachem v'rivachem. Your contentiousness, your burdens, and your quarrels. When we read this pasuk in Shul, in Parashas Devarim is always Shabbos Chazon. It's the Shabbos before Tisha B'Av. And we know that on Tisha B'Av, we read the book of Eicha. Eicha appears that Shabbos in the Parsha, right here, Eicha, Esa Levadi. How can I carry by myself? It also appears in the Haftorah. The Haftorah is Chazon Yeshayahu ben Amoz. It's the first chapter of the book of Yeshayahu. And in that first chapter, you have the pasuk of Echa Haisa Lizona. Again, the word Echa. It's in the Haftorah, it's in the Parsha, and of course, it's on Tisha B'Av. When we get to this pasuk, the Baal Kriya, the one who is laning, reads this pasuk with the Echa tune. The simple reason for that is because it has the word Echa, and he's drawing, Chazal actually mentioned the three Echas. This Echa in the Chumash, the Echa in the beginning of Yeshayahu, and the Echa, of course, of the book of Echa, the Megillah of Echa. Chazal draw our attention to the three Echas and discuss the three Echas. So, therefore, the one who's reading it reads it that way. But the truth is, what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to tell us is, this is going to be the root cause of the Meraglim, of the spies. The spies happened against the backdrop of what I'm about to describe. What I'm about to describe is, doesn't sound so terrible, but it is the backdrop that against which the Meraglim is able to happen. You couldn't have the spies, or it would have been very unlikely to have the spies, without this backdrop. And remember, the very first Tisha B'Av is with the spies. The first Tisha B'Av, the one that sets the tone for all future Tisha B'Avs, is the spies, is the Meraglim. And therefore, this is read with the Echa tune, because this is the root of the book of Echa, of the Megillah of Echa, starts here, with this contentiousness of the Jewish people. That the reason for delegating Moshe's authority was not simply because there were so many people. It's because of the way that we related to our authority. Now, we Jews were not easy to lead. We Jews were not easy to judge. We were difficult. I say it in the past tense, but it's likely it's in the present tense as well. We're not an easy people to lead. We're not an easy people to judge. And Moshe Rabbeinu says this is going to be the root cause of the spies, which we're going to get to presently. I want to make one observation just as a side point, but it's relevant to this, what we're just talking about, which is that you'll notice that if you turn back to 940, Shani, the first Aliyah of Devarim, ends at the end of Pasuk Yod Aleph. It ends at the end of verse 11. Verse 12, Hashem Elokei Avos Seichem, begins the second Aliyah of Devarim. But the truth is that during the week, where we're not reading anything more than the first Aliyah, we actually stop after Pasuk, did I say that backwards? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I used the wrong numbers. We have Shani for the beginning of Pasuk Yud Aleph 11. It ends after Pasuk Yud. At the end of verse 10, with the beginning of verse 11, that's where you have the break between Rishon and Shani, the first Aliyah and second Aliyah. But during the week, we actually read one more Pasuk. We read Pasuk Yud Aleph verse 11 as part of Rishon. Shani should really begin with the word Echa. But we don't do that because we don't want to start an Aliyah on such a negative note. So therefore, on Shabbos, where we're going to read further, we break off, we stop the first Aliyah of Devarim one Pasuk early. We stop after the 10th Pasuk, and we begin Shani with the 11th Pasuk, so that we're not starting with the 12th Pasuk, which is Echa. We don't want to start an Aliyah on such a negative note. So Moshe Rabbeinu says, how can I carry you with all your contentiousness? Pasuk Yud Gimel, verse 13. Havu lachem anashim chachamim unevonim viduim l'shivteichem. Give for yourselves men who are wise, who are understanding, who you know, meaning that you're aware of them. I don't know everybody, Moshe Rabbeinu says. I don't know every single person in a way to be able to vet them, to know that they are good judges. You know them better than I do. Make sure that you choose well. Va'asimeim b'rasheichem, and I will place them as your leaders. They will become your leaders. Vata'anu osi, and you answered me. Vatomru, and you said, Tov hadavar shedibarta la'asos. What you said is a good thing to do. What is the word la'asos doing there? Why doesn't it just say, Tov hadavar shedibarta? What you said is good. In English it says here, that thing that you have proposed to do is good. The word la'asos, to do, is extra. It should have just said, that which you said is good. But they said, it's good to do it. So I'm going to read you the Rashi. Rashi says, la'asos means, im hayisi misatzel, if I would have been lazy, if I would have done this, and I would not have snapped to it, atem omrim ase mehera, you would say do it quickly. You wanted this done as quickly as possible. And Rashi tells us, chalatatem es hadavar lahana aschem, you decided the matter for your own benefit. Hayalachem lahashiv, you should have answered. Rabbeinu Moshe, our master Moshe, mimina lilmod, from whom is it pleasant to learn? Mimcha, from you, o mitamidcha, or from your student? Lo mimcha, isn't it better to learn from you? Shenitzta'arta aleha, that you went through trouble to receive the Torah, you had to really put in effort to receive the Torah. You should have answered me, you Jews, when I proposed this idea of let's delegate, you should have said, Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to delegate. We want you as our teacher. We don't want anybody else. Eliyadati machshavoseichem, but I knew what you were thinking. Hayisem omrim, you were saying to yourselves, Achshav yismanu alenu dayanin harbe, now it'll be appointed over us many judges. Im ein makirenu, if they don't recognize us, anu mevien lo doron, we'll bring him a gift. And he will show us favoritism. You had ulterior motives. Let me ask you a question. Doesn't that Rashi sound funny? Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Jewish people, you should have said, who do we want to learn from? From you or from your student? We want to learn from you, Moshe Rabbeinu. That's what you should have said. But I know what you were thinking. You were thinking, there'll be a lot of judges, and this way we can bribe them. I thought we were talking about learning. We're talking about learning or we're talking about judges? What are we talking about here? Aren't we talking about judges? What's this, who should we learn from you or from your student? I thought we're talking about who should judge us. Herein lies the issue, and this is such a critical point. It's such an important point. We miss it all the time, and it's such an important thing. It's something to really, really think about and to hit home about. What's the difference between going to a secular court and going to a Din Torah? Now, obviously, the laws are different. Secular court, Din Torah, the rules are different. There's one set of laws set up by the Torah. Secular courts have other sets of laws. Other sets of laws can be valid. One of the mitzvos of the Sheva mitzvos b'nei Noach, one of the rules, according to some opinions, is that they have to set up a court system. The court systems can be well done. Now we know also we're not allowed to go to a secular court in a case where we have a dispute with a fellow Jew. We have to go to a Beis Din. But what is the fundamental difference between the two? The fundamental difference between the two is, one is a court system set up by man. The other is a court system set up by Hashem. Laws set up by Hashem. Laws made by man, laws made by Hashem. One is a pragmatic thing. It's how we can't have society without laws. So we have to have laws. Let's make laws. Great. And the other is the emes, is the truth. It's the word of Hashem. When you go to a Din Torah, the word itself, Din Torah, doesn't just mean the law as prescribed by the Torah. Din Torah also means that the law is the Torah. The law is the Torah itself. When you go to a Din Torah, and the Beis Din rules, you are learning Torah. There's something you didn't know when you walked in the door. And now, that law is teaching Torah. When you go to Moshe Rabbeinu for a judgment, you're not just getting a judgment. Well, I felt this way, he felt that way. Who owes who money? He felt I didn't pay him properly. He feels he didn't do the work properly. Whatever it is. So, we have a dispute. We go to Moshe Rabbeinu. And he goes through and he says, okay, I'm hearing that the Torah says that we're learning Torah. It's not just what we should do. Who owes who money? Who has to pay? Who has to lose? It's not just that. It's the Torah itself. Had we been viewing court cases as a method of learning more Torah, getting to understand the Torah better, becoming closer to Hashem, because we now understand His Torah more. If that's the way we'd be looking at court cases, then we would have responded to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't want to learn from your student. We want to learn from you. You're the teacher. You're the best one to teach Torah to us. We don't want to delegate. But once you start looking at the court case, not as Torah, but rather as this pragmatic thing. Well, we have a fight over money. Someone has to win, someone has to lose. Well, we're going to go. So then, I want to win. I want to win. And if by diffusing Moshe's authority, I can win, then that's what I want. And I like it. Let's have more judges. It'll give me a better chance to win. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that was the mistake. Now, to be sure, we're not talking about people who were on a low level. We're talking about high-level people. We're talking about people who are very close to Hashem. But Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, in a very subtle way, this is where you were coming from. You weren't coming from the issue of, there's so many of us, there's only one of you, and we're waiting in line for a really long time. That's not where you were coming from. Where you were coming from was, let's have a way of being able to kind of dilute Moshe Rabbeinu's authority so we can have our way in court. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, that was the terrible thing. It's not the delegating that was a problem. It's the Jewish people's reaction to the delegating, which underscores why the delegating was necessary. It wasn't simply the numbers. It was that the Jews were contentious, the Jews were fighting. It wasn't simply, tell me what to do and I'll do it. I want to learn Torah. It was more than that. And therefore, we have now a backdrop which will be fertile ground for the Meraglim, for the spies. And that's why this is part of the criticism. Now, we have not yet tackled the laws of judges, which is what happens next. Starting with Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, Vayikachas Roshei Shivtechem, I took the heads of your tribes. We're going to have Moshe Rabbeinu throw in a whole bunch of the rules of judges. So we haven't explained that yet. First of all, we haven't gone through them. What are the laws of judges? But we also haven't explained what does that have to do with anything. So far, very nice. We've explained why this delegating of authority is being said over here. But fine, now stop here and move on to the point. Now say, okay, we left Har Sinai, we had these judges now set up, the backdrop is there, and then we have the spies. But Moshe Rabbeinu finds it necessary here to either review or introduce the laws of judges. So that still needs to be explained. What are the laws and why Moshe Rabbeinu brings them up? So Mirtz Hashem, next week, we're going to lead off with Pasuk Tes Vav, verse 15, go through some of the laws of judges and why it was important for Moshe Rabbeinu to explain them here as he is getting to the main criticism, which is about the spies.
Rabbi?
Yeah.
I find it hard to understand, you know, when we were in Egypt, when we got out of Egypt, you know, we saw all the things Hashem did for us, and we still question, we still want to do things our own way. Why is it so hard for us to say, especially we've seen it with our own eyes, we're there, why did we want to, manipulate things? Why do we have to have things our own way? Why can't we just say, okay, that's what you want us to do, we'll do it?
I think if we had the answer to that, Mashiach would already be here. In this week's parasha, Parashas Noach, we find that the people did the sin of the Migdal Bavel, the Tower of Bavel. So Chazal say it was terrible. Here they had been saved from the Mabul, and yet they rebelled against Hashem. They should have, everybody else got killed. Their ancestors got saved from the Mabul. It's not that many years later. And now they're rebelling.
I don't understand it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. At least I'm not the only one.
No, you're not the only one.
It's okay. A different generation, though, right? Because but, the people that Moshe was speaking
yes, to. Yes. The point that's being made is that this is a different generation than the ones Moshe was speaking. Moshe is talking about what happened 39 years ago to their ancestors, to their parents, right, to their fathers. That's what Moshe is talking about. Now, this is their children. These are the ones who are going into Eretz Yisrael. That is true. This is the next generation. But the question is still a good point, which is that we were taken out of Mitzrayim. There were many miracles, and we still were rebellious. That's true. That is true. It's not, miracles do not make a person a good person. You have to really work at it. Okay, we will continue Mitzvah Hashem next week.